Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is the Talking Tactics Podcast. My name is Daniel.
It's your boy, Double H.
We do the podcast Tuesday, Wednesday, whenever you guys get it. Remember to follow the podcast on Twitter. We're on Instagram. There are some other places where you guys can follow. If you're listening on Spotify, remember to give us a follow. If you're on Apple Podcasts, subscribe. It's free. Leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on the show. Half-Hope, where can people get you before we get started?
Half-HopeFootballHots.com. That is now fully functional, man, after I sorted out that whole cash. Look, man, WordPress is freaking annoying, man. But yeah, the website is now fully, properly functioning and now fully updated. I test rankings on bricks, so.
Carla's at Anchorman 616. I'm at Daniel to Look, and there are some of my writings on Off Target on Substack, so just look that up. Where's a good place to start this week?
That's the place to start. The title race, isn't it? Yeah. Title race, bruv.
So what do you make of it?
Keep the branding. So what I mean by that, and maybe that could be the title of the thingy, keep the brand branding, which is that what matters is the brand. The brand is the most important thing. And what makes the brand exciting? A title race. Mm-hmm. A team 5 points clear, 6 points clear isn't exciting. What is more exciting? A 2-horse race or a 3-horse race? A 3-horse race. Man, if you're going to make a 4-horse race, great, but okay, Villa is crazy. But what you want is a 3-horse race. It will be very bad for the Premier League brand for City to win 4 times in a row or for them to even run away with it. It's very bad for the brand because it's very hard for you to answer, hey, Premier League, come watch us and everything. Because yes, you have the popularity, but it's very hard for guys to even respect your league if one team fully dominates it. Specifically, if one team now does 4 in a row, which has never been done before. So the big thing was the penalty. Doku, that was a penalty. Doku McAllister was a penalty. But you have to think about the brand. So someone picked up the phone, called VAR and said, guys, look, I know that's a penalty. You give it to Liverpool, most likely they score. Liverpool win. Now Liverpool now go ahead. But it's the brand. Just don't. Don't. Michael Oliver hasn't called it. Just say nothing. Let this be a draw. And now look at what that table looks like. Looks pretty exciting, doesn't it? And it's a great, nice little precursor to Arsenal against City at the end of the month. It's all about the brand. The best thing for the Premier League brand is let them keep it as a draw, keep it as is, keep it going. 3-horse race, hey. Because what's everyone been saying? Oh my gosh. Because even people have been saying, oh, half up. Do you think this is like the best title race in years? I'm like, yeah, probably. One of the best I've seen. Even though I know what the ending is, It's a pretty good story so far, you know? So that was my main thing. But beyond that, Liverpool lost that. City felt they won that. They've never beaten Liverpool at Anfield as far as Klopp has been there. Liverpool cooked them completely in the second half. And you should have won that game. Liverpool should have won that game, but you didn't. So if anybody's happy, it's City, who now have Arsenal at the crib later this month, you know. So, okay, no, let me turn the question to you now.
Mm-hmm.
Gut feeling after that game, City, Arsenal, or Liverpool? Or do you want to wait until Arsenal and City?
I mean, I would prefer to wait. The more information you have is always better. But if you're forcing my hand, there's nothing I've seen yet that would move me off Manchester City. So that's where I'm leaning. I think that's the smart play or the smart logical conclusion. As we've been talking for the past few weeks, I do think the more interesting is who's the more likely to get them. Is it Liverpool or is it Arsenal? I think full strength Liverpool, they win the league. Like if they had 38 games of their preferred 11 and Klopp was able to work with them game in, game out, I think based on how City have kind of regressed or come back, they would be the likely candidate to win the league. But as the season has progressed and you've lost Salah, there have been players out that have kind of reduced the capability of the squad, not just how they play, but in that knock-on effect to their points. And the way that Arsenal are playing at the moment is really, like, it's good. I would look at Arsenal as being the bigger threat if I was Pep. But then there's that game. So they play each other. You can kind of not neutralize it, but you can keep it at bay by just winning the game at the end of the month. Is it the 31st? Is it?
Yeah,
it's the last day of the month. So City is the answer, but Arsenal are worthy contenders in a way that last season, even though they had the points early, I never quite had the belief. This season, based on last and how they've been performing, there's something there, which I don't know if I like them winning. But
so hey. Okay, so you'd rather City win the league than Arsenal?
I don't care that deeply. If Arsenal win, you just have to deal with Arsenal fans.
Yeah.
But like, if they won, put it this way, they're due for a leak. It's been 20 years, so people can enjoy the two decades that Arsenal didn't win the league, and you can say that. Yeah, I mean, you can say that, you know, you enjoyed that time and whoa, whoa, whoa. But Arsenal, it's only a matter of time before they win it. They're a club of big stature. They're playing great football. They have a great team. Players like Rice have come in and integrated very well. Odegaard is playing out of his mind. Saka's developing. Like, even Havertz is, you know, contributing in his ways. So
in his ways, okay.
You know, their center back partnership of Saliba and Gabriel, amazing. They've worked out the goalkeeper. People had doubts at the beginning, but Raya, you know, he's not horrible. He just has those like moments of brain farts, you might say. But they're a good team, and they would be deserving title winners based on especially how they've dealt with the teams that they're supposed to beat. When you look at, you know, Manchester United, Chelsea, there are these teams that you're supposed to beat. They can't do it. Teams like Arsenal, Liverpool, City, they beat those teams. So
You see, for me, I would say, like, to win a title, I would say, like, I have, like, my triforce of characteristics that you need to win, like, a title. So it's talent, character, mentality, you know. And if you have all three, then you're in a good place to pretty much win a league. Arsenal have the talent. Character, we saw what happened last season, where under pressure, they faltered. The mentality, do they really believe that? Oh, no, we really believe that we can win this. So do you have that kind of arrogance and swag of like, no, we fully believe we can win this league? I'm not sure. I would like to think so, but I'm not sure how much they truly believe that we can win this league. For City, they have all three. Liverpool, they have all three, and they've proven that they've been able to have all three. So my thing for Arsenal, and we sort of saw it against FC Porto, is character. Do you have the character? And that character comes through in week 30, week 30, 31. because basically, like, Bleacher Report put like a funny kind of like image on Twitter about how Tottenham are going to play a massive role because they play all three teams
in a row. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, did they play them in a row?
I think so.
Oh, wow.
If I read it right, it was like match day 33, 35, 36, or 31, 32, 33. It's like in a row. You know how the schedule will make us get.
Yeah.
So, random.
My thing for Arsenal is like, look, for me, I'm speaking objectively. So it's not me. I'm like, oh, my, I'm a Chelsea fan, so I hate Arsenal. No. They have the talent. It's a very talented team. I'm sorry. You need to show me that you have the character. Because last season, you failed that character test. That was a failure. But now you can rectify it. Because the big thing was them beating City, which was huge. So, and then that mentality, it's still up in the air of like, how much do you really believe that, oh yeah, we really believe that we're coming. Because again, I always say for football, the talent is the physical. That is the physical. The mentality, that is the psychological of like the brain. And sometimes the mentality is even greater than the talent, because Euro 04, Greece were like the freaking 30th or 29th most talented team at those Euros. But their mentality was so strong that is what really saw them through, because of just that huge mentality they had and their massive character. You see, so your mentality and character can be huge.
I think if Arsenal think about it as we need to win the league, they'll be in trouble, because you might miss the forest for the trees, or whatever the saying is. If they take it game by game, it's not about winning the league necessarily. We just win our next match. And you have to, and you think about it from that point of view. And I think if you keep doing that over 30, it's what City have been great at, I think, just over the past, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
It's not about necessarily we're going in to win this league. I think Pep is hyper focused, especially watching that all or nothing on the next game. And Arsenal just take it game by game, and then you see where the others are. So that's the Manchester City clash is going to be hard not to think about the title implications. But leading up to that, just take care of business. It's not about winning the league at this point. And obviously that's, it's up to the skill of the manager in order to be able to kind of condition his players mentally not to think about the bigger picture, just do the task that's in front of you.
But that's all you can do, though.
Human nature is human nature, but...
Yeah. No, but it's like, for me, it's like, look, the Arsenal City game will not decide. I don't think it will decide the league. Because
City, it's just a piece.
Tottenham. It's just a piece. Because people were like, oh my gosh, this could be the decisive of the league. Not necessarily. It could be towards it, but not necessarily, because again, City have never beaten Tottenham in their stadium before, and they have to play them. So I think that, basically, I think the most pivotal in this whole thing will be Tottenham, because Tottenham ain't going to lose to Arsenal, bro. I don't think Tottenham are going to lose to Arsenal. And also, United are still around.
You think?
And United are very, and also I think, because United have to play still Liverpool and Arsenal, I believe. So it's like there are many more twists. Because remember, this isn't a knockout competition, it's 38 games.
Yeah.
And what we've seen, though, is this City and Liverpool team are not as perfect as they were like in 18, 19, where win. Liverpool are going to drop points, 100%. This City team, I still think they might drop one or two more games still. So I don't think this City team or this Liverpool team are going to do that 18-19 where they're just going to win like 6, 8, 9 games in a row. No. So
that's what I mean, that like the improvement of Liverpool, or sorry, the improvement of Arsenal is coinciding with the injury crisis at Liverpool and whatever's going on at City, to where they're a little bit less than what they've been in the past for whatever reason. I don't know what it is this season. It's maybe their defensive base isn't as good. I don't even know how to put it, but
Gundogan?
There's just something about their team that they're not as consistent as they've been, and that's allowing a team like Arsenal to maintain pace.
You have to keep in mind, no one has ever done 4 in a row. Now, with all due respect to Luciano Moggi, Juve 9 in a row, we know what that's about. I ain't going to say anything more. Bayern, bro, it's called the Bayern Liga. PSG haven't done that many in a row, and you know how stacked that team is.
Didn't they get to eight? Maybe seven. Maybe it was six.
I don't think they got to seven in a row. No, that was Lyon. I think Lyon got like seven.
Lyon got six. Yeah. Or was it seven?
PSG didn't get a six or seven in a row. So my thing, though, is it is very hard to re-motivate your team to go again and again and again, specifically after just won the treble. I wish we could know what United did after their treble season in 99. So I wish to know how many trophies did they win in that 99-2000 season. Because when you win a treble, it takes so much out of you. Remember when Barca won that treble? MSN were like, man, these guys are going to dominate. And then Atleti beat them. And I think they may have won the league, but did they win the league and Copa del Rey after 14-15? So it'll be a very interesting metric to see what teams did the season after they won the treble. Because the treble takes so much out of you.
So PSG won 13, 14, 15, 16. 17 was Monaco. So that's four. Mm. 18, 19, 20. 21 was Lille. And then they've won 22, 23, 24. So they have those little... So they've done four.
Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, 99-2000, Arsenal won the league.
What?
In 2000, didn't they?
That doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound right. Because I know 97, 98...
Maybe.
They won on 1997. But yeah, 99-2000 doesn't sound right. Of Arsenal winning the
99-2000, Premier League... Oh, 99-2000. Premier League table. United won, sorry. So 91. How did they respond with the treble? 91 points. Leeds finished third.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Harry Kewa and them boys.
Arsenal won in 2002, didn't they?
Yeah.
It was 2002 and 2004. I did it by the odd year, so I thought it was 2000, 2002, 2004, yeah. But it was only 02 and 04 and 98, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, the penalty, is there any point really to discuss that?
Do you think it was a penalty? Do you think it was a penalty?
Yeah. I mean, I can see how... or why they wouldn't want to give it as a penalty, meaning with like referees in the VAR booth, like maybe it's too big of a decision to make on evidence that we're not sure about. But the point that you can have all of the replays, and I think his foot touches McAllister's chest.
Yeah.
If that happens anywhere else on the pitch, it's a foul.
Yeah,
because it happens in the box and the price of a penalty is so high, especially given the context of the game, not just a title deciding game as things get marketed, but any football game, I can see how a referee wouldn't want to give it because it's too much to give. Yeah. But letter of the law, it was a reckless. His foot was high. It hit the player. Of course, he touched the ball, but at what cost? So it should have been a penalty, and there's no guarantee that Liverpool make it, but I think you have to give it to them. So,
yeah.
And if you put the Tottenham game with this one and all of the little things that have gone against Liverpool in the season there, I've been seeing the Liverpool barristers creating a case that, you know, the league is against us.
But, the Tottenham game, yeah.
Yeah. So... But no, definite penalty. I think it's more to talk about the implementation of VAR and all of that. But it's a dead horse at this point. We understand the frailties and shortcomings of Premier League referees. It's become a joke at this point.
Premier.
It's only a kick. A jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Let's go to Germany, man. So,
all right.
Do you think Leverkusen go unbeaten, invincible?
So the conversation isn't about will they win the league anymore. It's about how will they win it.
Oh, hold up. I still am with Bayern, bro. I don't give a damn. I am betting against 11 in a row. So yeah, I still think Bayern will win. But I'm just saying that's like, man. In the event Bayern don't win. Because here's the thing. Think about this. So imagine if this is Xabi Alonso's first full season. So his first full season to win the league, go unbeaten, and give Leverkusen their very first title in their entire history. That's insane. That is arguably
what has never been one won of the greatest defeats ever.
Never.
Haven't they been around for like 100 plus?
Never won the league. Like
they're like the drug company, by the way.
But that's why it's called Leverkusen, because remember, 2001-2002 season, they were near about to win the league. Then the DFB Pokal Cup final, UCL final. They lost the UCL final, lost the Pokal Cup final, and lost the league, like, I think, on the last few days. That's why they say, like, Michael Ballack is one of the most unluckiest players ever. Because Ballack was in that team, 2001-2002. In the summer, he suspended
the World Cup,
for the World Cup final. And then he now fast forward to the UCL semi and the whole overable thing. So Ballack has been so unlucky, you know, so.
I don't watch enough German football, really, to tell you if they'll go undefeated or not, because that's about the context of the league. You're telling me they're playing like Bochum and Augsburg. I don't know how good these teams actually are. I know that they've gotten over the biggest hurdle, which was that game against Bayern, their second game against Bayern. I don't know if they play Dortmund or Leipzig or any of the top teams again.
They play Dortmund again. I believe they play Dortmund again.
But we know what Dortmund are, so that shouldn't be a loss, draw at worst.
It's one of those things. So I think, so they're 10 points clear. So it's one of those cases of where if they keep on winning and let's say they mathematically win the league by 3 or 4 games, what's the mentality then? Is the mentality, bro, let's go for this? Or is it like, oh, we've won. Hey, let's just vibe out. Like, and I think if you're Xabi Alonso, you're like, no, let's try and be undefeated.
But there might be, how would you put it? There comes a point, and let me just use English.
But I still think Bayern will win, though. Let me be clear here. My money is still on Bayern Munich. I don't give a crap what anyone says, bro.
Do you know how you have to play a certain amount of games in order to get your winner's medal? Like, I think in the Premier League, you have to play at least five games in the season. I wonder if maybe there are some players in Leverkusen who, if you do have the title wrapped up with 3-4 games to go, and, well, maybe it'd be less than that. Maybe 2 or 3. Maybe if somebody's played 2-3 times, you can get them a winner's medal, and that might mean playing a backup goalkeeper or a different center back partnership or a different midfield configuration or something. Maybe that could catch them out. If Alonso wants to be nice and generous to the squad. But if you have the wherewithal or the opportunity to go unbeaten, you have to take it. And that would maybe mean being less nice to players who wouldn't qualify for winner's medals, but you play your first team the whole way through. You wouldn't if you'd lost the first game and then won the rest. Maybe you'd be more nice because there's no capacity to be unbeaten. But if there is, I think you have to do that just for the historical pleasure of it, really.
I think if it's me, I'm like, bro, we have to go for it. We have to. Ooh. Like, if let's say the unbeaten thing was not on, who needs to play games? Come on, guys, let's all play games. Let's get everyone in. But if it's a case of where we can go unbeaten and enter for the history, I'm sorry, that has to be the priority. The priority is, we are going to play full hard, full focus, and try and be unbeaten.
Because that's
an amazing thing to have. So,
The only other complication or wrinkle might be the Europa League. So they haven't lost in that competition either.
Mm-mm, no.
So if you lock up Bundesliga, maybe you rest players when you have a Europa League quarter, semi, final. Yeah, maybe. Depending on how the schedule works out. But it's the luxury in some ways of playing in Germany that it's only 34 games. Which, by the way, my mind has not been blank. You know how we've been talking about Serie A? Might get five teams, or the Premier League might get five teams, or because the Champions League is expanding next season from 32, I want to say, to 36 or something like that. Or is it 24 to 36? Either way, the Champions League is expanding.
Yeah, it's gives.
And certain leagues are getting added positions. There's a thought that Germany could get five. Mm. Now, in an 18-team league, do you think it's right that they get five? I think it's wrong they get four.
Why?
Because there's only 18 teams in your league. So every other big league has 20.
So? Quality,
so,
quality.
So a higher percentage of your league gets access to the Champions League, which I don't think is fair.
Quality is quality. If your league, pound for pound, performs well, you should be reciprocating.
But what if your league is performing well because you get a winter break and you get all the advantages of playing less games in a season, you get more time, and that prepares you for European football later? It's like...
Italy, what was it?
Italy, 20 teams, 30... Excuse me. Italy, 20 teams, 38 games. Spain, 20 teams, 38 games. England, 20 teams, 38 games. Germany has 18 teams and they play 34. And it's not as if they don't have enough teams to play 20. So, now we're going to give them five?
That's
one third of their league, pretty much.
How this is done, I don't care whether you have 18 teams, 16 or 5 teams. How well do your teams do when they face each other teams in Europe? Like, that is how it should be done. Where it's like, so when we now face each other, how well do your teams do it? If your teams do well in Europe, you get rewarded.
If that's the case, then why are we limited in other leagues to four? How come it's not just best come, best serve?
How do you mean?
Are we saying that, you know, what's a team? Are we saying that Tottenham isn't better than, I don't know, some team in Greece that gets to qualify, or some team in, I don't know, Belgium that gets to qualify? If it's not as if we're putting all of the best teams into the Champions League, it's the best teams that qualify from each league in Europe, which to me signals that UEFA is trying to do something about fair. It's because if it were just the best, it would be the Super League.
Yeah,
but it's not. Which, it's not the best.
I vote for. So
I mean, but it's not the best. We're taking, you know, people play carrier bag, and they play all these different teams from, even Israel gets teams and different stuff like that. Like, those aren't the best teams in Europe. There are, Israel's not even in Europe, but you know. But you know, it's this idea of, you know, we want to bring everybody in, but if you're gonna bring everybody in, at least let's have some standards. Like, if your league. Scotland has 12 teams, am I right? Would you say because Rangers and Celtic and all those, like, if they were good, you would want all five? You'd give them five spots?
No. Okay, let's...
Like,
let's
half keep your it. League can qualify? It's just always set wrong that Germany gets five or four, rather.
Let's keep it surreal. St. Mirren, Hibernian will be Hearts. Crucified, and Hearts, they'll be sacrificed by Leipzig, Dortmund, Mönchengladbach, and Mainz. They'd be destroyed by any of those
teams. But we have had scenarios where both Rangers and Celtic are good, but I think they only get one qualifying spot.
Have you seen how Celtic have been trampled upon in the UCL?
That's now. I mean, like, in the past.
When they had, like, Larsen, okay, fair enough. But we see, how, for me, I feel like, I'm not sure how it's done, but I think, I'm pretty sure where it's like, it... based on the performance of a league. So if you have a situation where Bundesliga, like most of your teams, two or three of your teams may reach the semis, which is the final in the UCL. Most of your teams go far in the Europa League. Most of your teams go far in the Conference League. Those are your coefficients points, and you are rewarded by your league performing well in the Conference League, Europa League, and the UCL.
The point here is I don't dispute that German teams perform well. Mm. My contention is that they are in a better position to perform well because they have less games relative to Italy, Spain, France.
Who's stopping England making it to 18 teams? So England, okay, fine then. Have 18 teams, have a winter break, but England, you're not going to do that because of the money there is of having that winter timetable. So whether it's Spain or Italy, who is stopping you from having a winter break and having 18 teams? No one is stopping you. So basically, so if you think Germany gets an advantage, change the ruling and have 18 teams have a winter break.
Do you think it's an advantage to have 18 teams in your league?
I think it's an advantage to have it is an advantage to have less games at a winter break. That's why Germany are smart, because they know that you know that there's a fixture pileup, and we are seeing just how people are getting so tired and fatigued. So because Germans are smart, they know that okay, let's just keep with these 18 teams, and let's have a freaking winter break. Because if you now have less games, it means that you cannot have that winter break. But if you have those extra four games, a winter break is very tricky because you now have fixture.
That's a whole month of fixtures.
Yeah.
For now. But the point here is if you have a whole month off, your league gets rewarded for that?
My thing is that they've done it. Why don't you do the same? So because they say, okay, fine, it's an advantage. Okay, if you think it's an advantage, do the same. See, it would be unfair if, let's say, for some reason, England, Spain, and Italy they were restricted from now having 18 teams in a winter break. But I don't think anything is stopping them from changing the rulings and say, okay, let's have 18 teams. But the key thing for England specifically is, now, we don't give a damn because that Christmas period is so lucrative. Specifically for TV deals, it's a Christmas period and everything, that England would never introduce a winter break or have less games. It will never happen because there's too much money made. So
now, okay, so the Premier League used to have 22 teams.
Mm. And so then they moved, so it was 42 games, yeah.
And then they moved to 20. So there is precedent for reducing the number of teams in the league. But it seems, I don't know why this is, that 20 is the set number for Italy, Spain, France, England, etc. But it's the problem, I guess, is that Germany have enough football teams to have a 20-team league. I understand it in, I think the Netherlands have 18 teams. I think in Belgium, they have 18 teams. They're small countries. Germany is one of the top. It might be the biggest economy in Europe. Like, there's no excuse for them not to have 20 teams, except maybe you might say the historical reasons of West Germany, East Germany, all that. But, you know, when was that? 1991?
I mean, Berlin Wall Tax?
Yeah. Like, all you gotta do is just add two teams. And I think it would help their league to have more games. Like, it would help the Bundesliga to have more games.
You mean even with fixture congestions, Nations League, friendlies,
just more games, more money. It would help them. But Germany is a weird place where I think their supporters would rather lose than win in a way that's not, in air quotes, correct.
Yeah.
So we would rather be relegated if you're a Schalke or what than like have some big foreign investment just come and revolutionize the club. Like, that's not what our club exists for. So the mentality of most German clubs and fans is quite different in that respect, though, or having respect for that is what I mean. I'm not with you having 18 teams and five get to play in the Champions League. That's crazy. It's like a third of your league. The context for that is the Premier League, a fifth of their teams qualify, whereas a third of yours. It's just the math is, the math don't math. Does Vinicius need to calm down or is he cool?
Why, in terms of what?
So did you see they played? I forgot who they played, and someone just grabbed his jersey while he was running. Like, they just grabbed his shirt, and he was trying to run at full speed, and then he kind of falls over. The guy makes him fall from the from grabbing his shirt. He gets up and then he pushes the guy, and then he gets booked. Do you think have you seen it?
Oh no, I didn't. I mean, I heard about it, but I didn't see it. So was this the 4-0 against Celta Vigo?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So, and this comes off the back of him pushing somebody in the neck, Orban from Leipzig, I think.
Oh yeah, the Leipzig guy, yeah.
So, is Vinny like, what's? Do you have a problem with it? I guess like Vinny's just kind of being his own defender.
You see, what I always said about Vinny is, like, you, I think on form, you're going to be one of the best players in the world right now, on form, one of the best in the world. And it's sort of like The Last Dance. Some athletes, you need that chip on your shoulder and you need that kind of edge and spice to actually make you perform better. Or even like Kobe. Like, there's some guys that just need that chip on your shoulder. But I do feel like if he's going to have a better balance and harness it, because sometimes it's as if, like, you almost are looking for the smoke. Whereas you're Brazilian. Look at Neymar, look at Dinho, look at R9, look at Romario, look at Rival, look at Kaka, look at Zico, Pele. When you're that talented, let your football do the talking. Like, when you're good, it's actually a detriment to yourself to even be diverted by trying to now go in and go out. But you know what I feel? The whole racial thing, that drama that Star has put in, the way that he's been treated, I think is like, you know what? Let me actually be this villain role.
Vinny Luther King.
Yeah, listen, yeah. Wait, what's... Vinny Luther King?
I think because his name is Vinny Jr., like, people are like, the joke on Twitter is Vinny Luther King Jr.
People need to relax, man. People need to relax, man.
Yo, have you watched completely unrelated, but related, Godfather of Harlem?
I saw two or three episodes.
You didn't rock with it?
Oh no, I mean, I think I had a driver, but I'm going to finish it.
I started season two, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, it's first because I know that Malcolm X is in it because I saw the scene with him in it.
Anyway,
Look, I think for Vinny, look, I mean, just focus on your football, man, because I don't think playing the kind of villain, yo, man, I'm ready for the smoke. You're gonna go in, that it doesn't help you. It doesn't help you. But then again, though, I'm not him, and I don't know what I would do. If those, like, devilish, satanic, hell children racists did that to me. So hell, I don't know how I would react to those, like, satanic creatures, you know, who did that stuff to me. So,
you know,
I'm not in his shoes.
I think it's been almost accepted that attackers are going to be kicked and they're going to be roughed up a bit by players who are worse than them. Basically, because you're good at football and you can dribble and you're skillful and you're quick and you're pacey, that then means the only way to deal with you, or the way that I'm going to deal with you, is I'm going to be physical, I'm going to be rough, I'm going to be tough, because it's the best I have. All I can do is give effort and be aggressive, and hopefully that's enough to put you off your game. So we see players like Neymar who finish in their early 30s because they've been kicked, like, in France. it was ridiculous what he was having to go through on a weekly basis. We see players like Hazard, who, I mean, even Mourinho said it, that one day we might not have Eden Hazard because of the amount he gets kicked. The way to deal with Vinicius and the way that he's developed, as you say, into arguably the best wide player in the world, you have to kick him. That's the only way that you can really deal with him, especially in Spain. Once he goes to Brazil, you can maybe play a more tactical game and he's not as effective. But in that Madrid team, the way that players are dealing with him is, let's be physical as much as you can be in Spain. Let's kick him, let's rough him up, and let's kind of dishevel him.
Yeah.
In my mind, if that's the way that the game's going and the way that the game's been, obviously it's not as bad as it was in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, etc. But I'm with attackers, like, at least showing, like, nah, I'm not with it. Like,
oh, no, yeah, aggression is good, yeah.
like, maybe don't put your hands on man's neck. Maybe don't do that. But like, if you need to push him and show that, like, no, like, this isn't, you're not just going to push me just because you can't stop me. Or you're not just going to tug my shirt and then push me down because you can't stop me. Like, nah. So in a sense, like, I'm with Vinicius's spirit to fight back. Mm. It's just within the context of the game and the rules of the game, you put yourself at risk with a yellow card or doing something that goes a little bit too far beyond yellow and now it has to be red.
And also,
last point. It's more, I think, something that needs to be discussed with referees, that don't let the game get to a point where players feel they have to adjudicate or fight for themselves. You're the arbiter. You should be a neutral arbiter. If Vinicius is going through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things, or Rodrigo's going to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things, or whoever the player is that may be skillful that the opposition can't handle, book them early to where there's no pulling of my jersey, because I know I'm going to get booked for the cynical foul or whatever it is. Like, Vinicius shouldn't have to be his own defender. But if I have to be, I have to be.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, but as I said, it's down to the referee.
Or just go ask Rudiger to do something.
Man, no, but like, for the referees, like, how does the referee perceive you? Does he? Because at the end of the people, referees are not robots; they're human beings. Okay, so and referees have emotions like every other human being. So does the referee view Vini as a troublemaker or as a skillful player who needs to be protected? You know,
the referee could be a hell child too.
The referee could be a child of Satan. So if the referee is a child of Satan, he's like, nah, Vinny, please, I'm going to give you a look. Because how many times has Vinny remonstrated with the referee of like, wait, how are you booking me for me just trying to defend myself or for me like reacting to how this guy is trying to provoke me? So it's those perceptions. Because it's so funny, like, I was just watching on Instagram, like, the whole, like, you know, Pele, you know, how Pele did moves before every other player. And people say, like, bro, like, you know, Pele was doing this stuff where he was not protected. Like, if Pele existed now, you have to protect him because it's almost why what people say led to Neymar's injuries, where in France he just wasn't protected. So, you see, because being a referee, it's hard. You have to allow a little bit of aggression. You have to be. And it's like, because again, for me, just watching Gil's Arena, the whole basketball thing, that is what for me has actually ruined the basketball for me, is how there's such little aggression allowed, and it is way favored for the attackers. So yes, it's that balancing act, and it's hard because you have to balance between protection of the attackers, but hey, let's allow a bit of aggression and actually allow a bit of tug of war between defense and attack. But the thing though is, again, we have to keep it a stack. The game is about the superstars, and what leads the sport are the attackers. Same thing in almost any sport. But let me use basketball now. Of course, we respect the defensive players and what they do, but the faces of the sport of basketball are attackers. The faces of the sport of football are attackers. Those are the faces. Of course, we respect Beckenbauer, respect Desai, respect Maldini, but it's Romario, it's Arnan, it's Messi, it's Neymar, it's Pele, it's Rivaldo.
Look who you have behind you. Sport. Like,
yeah, you know? So it's like, these are the guys. But I've got some defenders.
I know, but it's just, I would assume the jerseys in the rafters are very skewed towards attackers. Or strikers forward.
No. You see, for me, I'm talking about big picture, general picture for the general audience. No, for me, I'm a fan of every single position.
But
it is that, take me out of it. That's just me. General audience, the attackers are what sell your sport.
Yeah.
You see, for guys like us, we appreciate the defenders, the DMs, the right wingers, but they generally, people come in like, listen, who has crossed over from football? It's Cristiano and Messi. Those are the guys that have now crossed over, also Messi and Cristiano. And what's the name that people think of when they think of football who know nothing about football? Pele. So
Maradona.
Pele, Maradona, these are the guys that people think of who have know nothing about the sport. People who know zero about basketball, they know who Michael Jordan is. They know who Kobe Bryant is. They don't know who Kenyon Martin is. They don't know who Tyson Chandler is. They don't know any of these guys, if you don't know basketball. But so you have to protect these guys. And I think that, see, now I'm actually even saying this right now. Who do we blame for what happened with Neymar? Do we blame Neymar or do we blame the referees in, well, McDonald's now, which has gone from Uber Eats to McDonald's? So do we blame the refs in the Big Mac League or do we blame Neymar for trying to do rainbow flicks and inciting defenders? Which
it's a combination. It's the way that Neymar plays, given you're
so,
playing.
Wait, hold on. Rainbow flicks?
No, it's not that you can't do rainbow flicks. I want you to do rainbow flicks, flip flaps. I want you to do all of it. Like, but you have to know where you do it, and when you do it will then provoke a reaction that you won't be protected for that. So when Neymar flicks it over somebody and then they do like a very harsh tackle because it's the 91st minute and you're just taking the piss, as you guys might say.
Yeah.
The referee's not going to really protect you. He might book him, but he's not going to send him off for like tackling
you. Why not though? Why not?
Because it's not culturally acceptable.
Then you're a loser.
If you were on Daniel's pitch, it would be culturally acceptable. We want more of that.
Then you're a loser because, sorry, football is the culture. Screw whatever your culture is and whatever your country is. You are bound by the culture of football. And the culture of football is we're here for Lala, Tata, Sasa, Shoam Leg, and La Cucaracha. That's what we are here for.
That's so what if we want.
If you are, it's like, didn't Neymar get booked for doing like a rainbow flick or doing some kind of crazy flick? I swear a player got booked for showboating. Basically, so my thing is,
you ever watch South African football? You ever watch South African football?
Oh, like,
you say,
bro, have you seen what guys do in the streets of Nigeria, bro?
Bro, after this, go just type in South African skill on and the stuff that these guys do in the game.
Look, shout out to Africa, man.
It's disrespectful, but it's a part of their culture to where we're up, so we're just going to play around with the ball and show hands, and it's crazy, but it's fun. And I think that should be the point, that you don't want to subtract from the fun, but you also want there to be some level of defensive resistance. It's just, for me, what level should that defensive resistance be? Or what is an acceptable or agreeable level of physicality?
My thing, if a hard foul is a hard foul, if a foul is a foul. So if, whether you're frustrated or not, that's on you. But if you hard foul someone because they've embarrassed you, you get a yellow card or you get a red card.
The situation this week was more Vinicius just dusted dude. And he didn't want him to run on goal. So instead of allowing him to run past him, he grabbed his jersey or grabbed his shirt. And Vinicius was trying to run despite having his shirt pulled, but then eventually fell down. Then he got up and pushed the guy. The guy obviously falls down. He gets booked. The guy received a yellow card for grabbing the jersey. It was so obvious. But Vinicius also got booked for his reaction. And people were saying, you know, Vinicius, he's losing his head. He has main character syndrome, boo, boo, boo. But it's like, after a certain amount of time, and this thing consistently happens, even if I know the person is going to be booked or punished within the context of the game, they have to hear something from me immediately. And I sympathize or empathize with that point. It's just like, yeah, you're going to get your justice from the game, but you need your justice from me too. So I'm just going to push you. But the point is, like, just get your money's worth for the yellow that you know you're going to get. But don't go that little bit too far where I think in the Champions League, he should have been sent off because he went high on the guy's throat.
I mean, it was more of like a, you know, like, you know, like,
yeah, but sit, like you know, Styles, neck like head area, Styles, like, you know, pause, but you know, neck head, just, you know,
my
leave
neck,
that out.
My back, just like that.
Close the laptop lid.
Look, that was the song that came up in my head, man. That was the song that came up in my head. I can't believe that was actually released in public, man. How the hell did I release in public?
Is there another topic? I know we need to go.
I'm in Vamos soonish.
It's France, Germany, Spain. Just random.
Yeah, random.
What is that sleeve that you wear, by the way? That what like sleeve? That green thing?
No, captain's armband.
Oh, it's an armband. Okay.
So basically, when I was like, I think it's 2018, FIFA sent me some stuff. So FIFA sent me like a little World Cup keypad thingy. Sent me like official like yellow card, red card.
Was that the ball that we were kicking in London? Was that like in the official?
FIFA, yeah, that's part of FIFA. Okay. So they sent me the ball, yellow card, red card, captain's armband. Because remember the whole We Live Football Russia thing? Mm. Yeah, that was part of the thing.
Because I remember it was like, the ball looked like, oh, this looks like the World Cup from 2018. So it must have been that.
Yeah.
Ah, I was going to ask you the question. Do you have a Yaya Toure in the rafters, but one that looks like City? Because I've noticed you don't have any City rafters.
That's a good point. I was about to say, like, hey, who the hell can I get from the City? Like, oh, yeah. Thank you for reminding me. Yaya Toure has retired.
Yeah. Because, like, I was on Twitter and I was realizing, like, bro, there are a lot of young Man City fans. Like, the same way that people would have been attracted to Chelsea or United, based on how City play and them winning and football being more about giving you that good feeling every week, there's a lot of City fans out here, bro. So your rafters might need to reflect the changing demographics of the game. And you might need to get like a Yaya Toure or company or David Silva. Silva's playing. Is Silva retired?
Oh, I'm pretty sure he's retired, bro. I'm pretty sure
he was
retired.
I thought he was with somebody. He might have been with Sociedad, no?
You're right. Yes, he went back to Spain. I think he might still be playing.
Yeah. But no, company's retired and all those dudes are retired. So, you know, I was just thinking maybe you might need to add.
See, I'd rather get to Yaya Toure, Ivory Coast. You know, than in the City. But, you know, for the balance of things, you know.
What? City, have they had like...
Well,
there's Toure, there's Kompany, there's Aguero. Actually, Aguero might not be bad, but it depends on like, do you have agendas against him?
I might do, actually. Because I don't know, he was saying some stuff about Camavinga, so I don't know, Aguero's a bit weird. And also, I don't like how he went up to lift the World Cup trophy. Like an opportunity, so that rubbed me the wrong way. So,
and how many Chelsea ones do you have? You just have the Drogba.
No, Drogba, Zola, Hazard.
And the Desai one you have is Milan.
It's Milan. Like, Milan's away kit, I think.
You would never get, like, how do I put this?
No, basically, I know. I wouldn't.
Lampard, Terry, Joe Cole.
You see, I was going to get the Joe Cole West Ham, but West Ham are a bit of a dodgy club. But I was thinking of getting Joe Cole West Ham.
Would you ever get Ashley Cole?
No. Too much of a fool. You see, that's also, basically, the ones I'm looking for is the 95 Ajax jersey.
Which one? Of who?
Well, either anybody. Kanu. You see, I'm thinking of getting probably Kanu Arsenal, but I'm thinking I'm getting Kluivert Ajax jersey and Totti Roma. So basically Kluivert or Finidi George Ajax and the thing. And also I need to get a Buffon. I need to get a Buffon.
He actually retires.
Yeah, man.
I can't believe it. All right. No, we actually do need one more topic. Do you know what? The evergreen. What's Chelsea? Let's just talk about Chelsea for 10 minutes.
I can't do 10 minutes, bro, because I need to.
Because, 5 minutes?
It's like because you know, UCL is like.
When is it?
In 10 minutes.
Oh, shit. Anyway, all right. We can just leave this as a short one. Or do you want to post? I don't know how I feel about that.
What?
Giving people the extra for free one time. I don't know.
No.
Actually, no, we can't. We can't based on what we talked about.
Oh, no. Heck no. No way.
Anyway. So, yeah, this has been an abbreviated Talking Tactics. But thank you guys for listening. So Half Hope, tell the people where you can be found.
Halffootballhope.com or around the corner on the street.
Yeah, I'm at the end of the look. Carl's at Anchorman 616. Remember to follow the podcast on Spotify, follow on Apple Podcasts if you're listening over there, or whatever podcast app you use.
Yes, sir.
Check out the second podcast that we do. It's called Talking Race, Africa, and People. The last episode was about Dr. Umar. And his school.
That's, I hope you all have donated too.
Oh. what else? The second pod, all of that. Yeah. Just Talk and Tactics podcast. Sometimes funny, sometimes serious.
Always football.
Indeed. We'll see you guys next week. Peace.
Peace. Sports Social Podcast Network.